morning, I want to talk about faith. And I know that sounds like a rather obvious topic for church. But in case you think I just lack imagination, which may be true in any case, let me say that faith is, of course, a very big topic for us as we're moving towards the story of Easter once again. And I suspect that we would all like to think of ourselves as people of faith. We would like to be people who believe in a power greater than ourselves, people who trust that behind all the apparent chaos of life, there is a force of love which holds it all somehow together. We would like to be people of faith. And I guess that's at least part of the story of why we come to be here this morning. The problem is that sometimes our being in church only serves to remind us of the rather large gap that can exist between the people we would like to be and the people we know ourselves to be. We can come to church and we can hear stories of great people of faith, perhaps people who've turned their backs entirely on the pleasures of the world to dedicate themselves to prayer in a monastery, or perhaps someone who's stood up for their beliefs in the face of great danger. We might come and hear about brothers and sisters in other parts of our world who are prepared to suffer, to go to jail rather than deny what they believe. Or perhaps of people nearer to home whose lives just seem to have such a quality of faith that they give off this sense of peace to everyone around. We can hear stories like that, and perhaps they can inspire us, or perhaps, equally, they can deflate us. Because we hear stories of people like that, and they just don't seem to have much in common with people like us. Well, this morning we come with all our doubts and our confusion and our compromises, and we've read one incident from the story of the life of someone who more than anyone else is known as a great man of faith. It's the story of Abraham. Abraham, who remember is held in great esteem, not only in our Christian scriptures, but equally as a great example of faith for Jews and for Muslims. These religions may have gone in different directions, but they all consider themselves children of Abraham. He is the founding father of faith itself. So much so that in all our writings, God is defined as being the God of Abraham and his descendants. And God speaks in the Old Testament. Very often we get that phrase, God identifying himself, I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You can't get a better recommendation than that, can you? God himself is proud to associate with this man, Abraham. If anyone can be described as a person of faith, he surely fits the bill. And we got that verse this morning that he believed in God, and God therefore counted that as righteousness. So this morning I can come with a sermon about the wonderful faith Abraham demonstrated and how we all ought to learn from his example, and we can all prepare ourselves to feel inadequate once again by comparison. But before we do that, we should realise that there's actually much more to the story of Abraham and his faith than we might assume. We might discover, actually, that his life of faith might be easier for people like us to relate to and connect to than we might have assumed. Certainly, there are moments in his life where he demonstrates strong faith and clear conviction. Like when He sets out on this journey with no known destination, leaving his home and his homeland simply because he believes God's calling him to do that. On the time when he gives his nephew Lot is given the first choice of the land that they're going to divide between them, because Abraham trusts that whatever happens, God is going to look after him anyway. Well, it's a very gracious way he rescues Lot when his town has been overrun and ransacked, that he refuses any reward because he doesn't want anyone to think that his riches could come from anyone other than God alone. What a great man of faith. And most famously and most controversially, that time when he's willing to kill his own son, when he believed that was what God required of him. All of that and more makes Abraham seem out of our league when it comes to faith. But when you follow his whole story, we discover that the faith was never that easy for him, never as clear-cut as that might give the impression of. Certainly not ever for very long. Frequently we find Abraham doubting if God really will keep his promises. Frequently we find Abraham getting really impatient because God seems to be taking so long. Frequently we find him acting in ways that suggest he didn't really trust God to look after him or provide for him. For example, there are two separate stories in which powerful men are attracted to his wife, and he fears that they might kill him to take his wife from him. And so his plan in that situation is to say, "She's not my wife, she's my sister, you can have her, on you go," leading to very messy consequences. Great man of faith. God has twice promised him that he would have descendants that would be as numerous, as we read this morning, as the stars in the sky, as widespread as the dust on the ground. But still childless, Abraham seems to have signed a contract to adopt one of his servants to make that child his next of kin. And even after the assurances are repeated in the passage we read this morning, he decides that his only hope of having any children is to get one of his female servants pregnant himself, which he does, leading to very messy consequences. A great man of faith. What was it that makes Abraham so special then? So special that three of the world's major religions will call him the founder of faith, will treat him as some sort of hero and great example. What is there in his life that we could possibly learn from? Well, here's the thing. Ultimately, it's not Abraham's faith in God which makes him so noteworthy. It's God's faith in him. God has promised that he's going to bless him, and God will bless him, no matter how many times he gets it wrong, no matter how many times he messes things up. And that's why this story of Abraham becomes so fundamental to religious faith, because it brings us back to what faith is really all about. That it's the God we have faith in who decides what happens, and it's not the level of our ability to be good enough, or to believe enough, or to try hard enough. Whenever we talk about having faith, it is faith in God's generosity and mercy and faithfulness, not in ourselves. And that can be hard for us. We're taught that we have to earn anything we're going to get in this world. Rewards have to be achieved. And in everyday life, that's generally true. But the Bible seems to go out of its way again and again to make it clear that the blessing of God does not come about because there's anything special in the people God blesses, it's always because of this special quality of God that goes beyond our logic or our limits. So we need to understand there's a difference between being a great person of faith, a great man or woman of faith, and being a man or a woman who might be very ordinary indeed, but who's learned to just accept, to just trust that there is a great big God of blessing out there who has faith in us. It's the faith which is great, not the person who holds the faith. And that's what we see again and again in the lives of all the heroes of the Bible. The Old Testament is full of very dodgy characters who we would not want to look to for examples of moral living. Whether it's Samson or King David or Moses himself, they've all got blood on their hands. And in the New Testament, there are these people we now refer to as saints. But anyone who knew Peter would surely have found that idea very amusing. And Paul, St. Paul as we call him now, he was happy to describe himself as the worst of sinners. The one thing about the lives of people like these which we find inspiring is that their living was caught up in something bigger than themselves. It was caught up in a great big faith, and they managed to hold on to that faith, sometimes just holding on by their fingertips. Their faith did not make them perfect. That's clear enough. And their faith did not come because they were perfect as some kind of reward. That's clear enough. But their faith allowed them to believe that their lives had some purpose, some significance beyond which they could see with their eyes. It allowed them to believe they were held in the hands of God, that they had been, as Jesus put it, gathered up under his wings, and that whatever happened, whatever bad thing happened to them, or whatever bad thing they did, this God was not going to let them go. It's the faith which is great. It's not the person who holds it. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that message deeply reassuring. Because the faith has not changed. God has promised he will bless us, and God will bless us no matter how many times we get things wrong, how many times we mess up. So Abraham, he does become an example for us, not because he lived a good, faithful life, but because in him we see this wild generosity of God. I'm not saying, therefore, we shouldn't try to live good, faithful lives. It's a wonderful goal for us to aim for. But we should not fall into the trap of believing that we will be counted as righteous by God because of how impressive our efforts to be good people have been. And Abraham becomes an example for us, not because he believed the right things. And I'm not saying we shouldn't try to believe the right things or search for truth and clearer understanding, but we shouldn't fall into the trap either of thinking that we will only be counted as righteous by God if we can achieve sufficient pass marks when our personal statement of faith comes to be examined. Abraham, he becomes an example for us because despite all of his mistakes, despite all of the confusion in his mind and the doubts that he demonstrated, he managed to hold on to his trust that God was going to be good to him, and that was all he needed. He may not have held that faith as firmly or as surely or as confidently as he might have, but he never lost it, And in the end, that proves to be powerful enough. The promises are fulfilled. The purposes of God do come to fruition. This is the sheer, undeserved, wildly generous grace of God. And this is still the God we are invited to have faith in. Because he's promised he will bless us. And he will bless us. No matter how many times we get things wrong. No matter how many times we mess up. This is the faith that we are invited to be swept up in and gathered into. Let's pause for a moment then and reflect on those thoughts as we listen to some music.